from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-700-6898. 800-700-6898 or BigLou.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. And joining me now is Kyren Samuels, former all-conference offensive lineman at Jacksonville State. He is, a writer analyst for the Polling Guard and senior consultant for Defiant Takes for their football edition. Again, on X at Kyren Samuels. Kyren, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Happy to be back again.
Yes, sir. Of course. You been enjoying the Olympics?
Oh, man, I've been loving it, man. My mom was a sprinter, so growing up, I spent a lot of time at the tracks with her. So it's good to get out there and, see these people compete. And coming up in football, you have a lot of guys who are track guys. So some guys that you may know may be out there. So I've been really enjoying it.
Okay, I hear you. Your mom was a sprinter, though. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was a sprinter.
What'd she compete in?
She was a 100 and a 200 and then a relay person. So she was a fast person. But she only competed college level. She never went past that. Had a couple babies that got in the way.
No, I hear that. What'd you think of that Noah Lyles race, that 100 meter, by the way? I know it was last weekend. Man. It's kind of old news at this point.
But listen, that was electric. I mean, just the atmosphere, the environment. The whole introduction where they, turn all the lights off and then have the light show. It was a spectacle. And then the way he ran out and with all the energy and, he kind of was scared. He was wasting a little bit of energy, but he was ready for his moment, man. And he took it, and that was a photo finish. I believe it was the most sub 9.9 guys ever. So even though the winning times wasn't, world record breaking, the rest of the field was as competitive as it's ever been. So that was an incredible race. And, you had two Americans come out on top. Former football player Fred Curley finishes third. So it was a great race.
Yeah, 5/1000th of a second is nuts, though. That's absolutely insane.
That's insane.
And I know that there's like actual sprinters out there that knew that he won because his torso crossed. I had no idea, no earthly idea.
Yeah, on the live watch, I actually thought Fred Curley had pulled it off at the end on the outside lane. So everybody was saying the Jamaican Keyshawn Thompson or maybe Noah Lyles was the guy, but I thought Fred had pulled it out at the live side, but when they had the aerial view, you could actually see his chest poking over the line. So 5/100th of a second, insane. It just goes to show you the slimmest of margins. You hear football coaches say every inch matters. It's a game of inches. And that's literally, it's a game of centimeters there with them. So that was insane to watch.
Are we hyped up for the 4x1 on both for the women and the men?
Well, yeah, I was extremely excited for the 4x1 for the women because, you know, Sha'Carri, she finished second, man. I mean, she's a world champion. She won the world championship last year in Budapest against the Jamaicans and all those talented ladies. And then she comes back and she gets silver here in these games. So I think she's going to run extremely motivated. Silver medal is nothing to scoff at. I know America's just the gold or bust mentality, but she's the second fastest woman in the world this year. She's the sixth fastest woman ever, time-wise. And she's already a world champion in an event. So Sha'Carri has accomplished pretty much everything there is to besides this gold medal. So I think that she's going to come out and run a crazy last leg for the Americans in this Olympics.
And the thing that is depressing, though, Noah Lyles, did you see he got COVID today?
Oh, man, that's crazy.
That's a positive.
I wonder how this is going to play out, just PR-wise and media-wise. You know, like, if you haven't been around the last 4 years, it's been a hot-button topic. So letting a guy like that run around in the event, with COVID, I wonder how that's going to play over. But from a physical standpoint, I mean, I know that it's hard to separate the two, but I think that's extremely impressive. The guy has asthma. He's been very vocal about that and his struggles with asthma. And he's also been dealing with the respiratory issues. So
yep.
Who knows, man? It's kind of crazy to see how fast he ran. He ran 19.7 with COVID and asthma. That's pretty ridiculous.
Now, I want to hop into a little college football, and we know Jim Harbaugh is off to the Chargers, but what did you make of everything that happened to Michigan this week? Seven level one violations. Sharon Moore has Jim Harbaugh has one of those. And then Jim Harbaugh, I know it doesn't matter all that much, but a four-year show cause for the COVID recruiting. People need to realize that. There was two separate NCAA investigations. He got a four-year show cause for it. It feels like Michigan is going to be dealing with some things here for the next probably five years or so.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel bad for Sharon Moore. I mean, listen, he's a part of some of the violations, like you said. But, you know, you're coming off a national championship. You're coming off a season where you took over for Jim Harbaugh twice because of his, you know, situations that was ongoing with the NCAA, and you did a fantastic job. I mean, you led the team against some of their biggest rivals. You won those games. You go into the playoffs against Alabama. You beat Alabama, then you beat Washington in the national championship. You're on cloud nine. You take over the job for your dream job, right? And then, you know, 6 months later, you're being hit with stuff like this, and it's going to have a cloud over the program for the foreseeable future. And we haven't even gotten to, you know, the sign gate, the stealing signs,
right,
and the practices, all that stuff yet. And they're already hitting people with show causes and some pretty serious violations. So I would assume that the hammer's going to be dropped pretty hard on them. I just don't know how hard. But regardless of that, it's just a black eye on the program right now. It's going to be hard recruiting and keeping guys interested when, you know, hey, there may be some sanctions coming. There may be something that can deter you from keeping people there in terms of coaches as well. Coaches aren't going to want to stick around if the ships are burning. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I feel a little bit bad for Sharon Moore, even though he may have had some bad stuff on his hands there.
Did Jim Harbaugh give him a losing situation, hand him off a losing situation? I understand he's making $5, $6 million a year. Understand all of that. But at the same time, like, this is, Sharon Moore was booger crying for that guy after that Penn State game. You know what I mean? Like, this is a guy who clearly loves Jim Harbaugh, but Jim Harbaugh gave him a pretty bad situation to take over with at this particular moment.
Absolutely. And you, like I said, I kind of feel bad for him. But at the end of the day, the Fire Football Coaches Club, college football, and professional football are some of the richest men on the face of the planet right now. So as poorly as I feel for him as a football guy, on the human level, I can still give him a little bit of bail because he's going to be a very rich man regardless of what happens. And I think he'll be okay with that. I think he's willing to take that risk. He's willing to bet on himself and hope for the best because, like we said, they've already accomplished what they set out to. They won a national championship game. He's become a head coach at his dream school, and he has signed the contract. So he's kind of won already. It just depends on how it's going to play out for the rest of those guys. And I think Sharon Moore is the type of guy that he doesn't seem like he let anything really bother him or frustrate him. If you hear him talk, he's just very calm. Like you said, he got emotional after the game. I believe it was Penn State after that game.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the type of guy that doesn't seem like much bothers him. So he's going to, you know, let the game come to him, focus on the football stuff, and let the decision makers make those decisions. And I think he'll be okay.
What do you think? The NCAA, if they wanted to take this opportunity to make an example of somebody, it feels like Michigan would be the good one to make an example of. This isn't just old school, you know, impermissible benefits. This is something that was illegal before, illegal now, and illegal going into the future. So what do you think ultimately happens? Just a suspension for Sherrone Moore, vacated wins? What do you think the NCAA is going to do ultimately?
You know, nobody really cares about suspensions anymore. I think they've made that pretty clear. I think the slap on the wrist suspensions aren't going to really do it here. My fear is that they're going to take games away from those guys and vacate wins,
right,
potentially vacate the national championship and the Big Ten championship. And even as somebody, you know, who's been through a program that's had some of that stuff, I hate the whole vacated win situation because we watch the games play out on the field.
Right.
And I understand that this is, like you said, this is not impermissible benefits. This is not a minor recruiting violation yet that we're going to get into. We haven't gotten to the Connor Stallions gate and all that stuff. But eventually they're going to get to that point where that becomes the center of the investigation and the focus. And maybe that could have had an effect on the game. We don't know. I believe that is a unique situation that I'm kind of on the fence about, because I hate the vacated wins thing, because we watched the games play out. We saw how it happened. But it's also to the point where it's like, man, if they were stealing signs, if they did have an advantage as far as stealing, getting ahead on the plays and knowing what's coming next, obviously that could have an impact on the game. So my fear is that we're going to get into the muddy waters there and that it's going to be a ruckus. But at the end of the day, the games have already been played.
Yep.
There's nothing you can really do to take those back.
Yeah, I get so annoyed with the vacated stuff. Although I do think the NCAA can make this example sort of felt around the sport. Because let's be honest, Kyron, this is unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this. Not even close.
And especially like you said, this would be, if you're going to make an example out of somebody, Michigan will probably be the type of school to do it, and this will be the time when you have USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon coming into the conference where it won't hurt the Big Ten. 3 or 4 years ago, even last year, if Michigan's out of the fold, that is a major hit to the Big Ten as far as the conference. And the Big Ten itself probably wouldn't, they would have done everything they could to try to protect them probably. But now you have all those new teams coming to the fold. You have Dan Lanning with Oregon. You have Jed Fish at Washington. Deshaun Foster there at UCLA. And obviously Lincoln Riley at USC. You're going to have a ton of eye candy for the rest of the nation to follow and pay attention to. So I don't think, if they did bring the hammer down on Michigan, it would hurt the conference as a whole as it would have maybe 2 years ago.
Now, let me ask you this. What do you think about Michigan going into this year? I know they lost a bunch. They had 13 players drafted the NFL draft. A lot of them were sort of later round picks, whether it was day two or day three. Most of their O-line is gone. You know, no Blake Corum, no J.J. McCarthy. How do you think that team fares this year?
You know what? They're in a tricky spot, I believe. Because I think their defense is going to be as good as anybody's. I think they have they have the best interior defensive line in the country with Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. They have the best cornerback, in my opinion. I know a lot of people love Travis Hunter, and I'm a huge fan of Travis Hunter. But they have the best cornerback, in my opinion, in Will Johnson. They have a ton of guys returning on defense. They replaced all 5 offensive linemen. So that is a big component for me. But they do have a dynamic player and Alex Orji, and they have a dynamic running back in Donovan Edwards. So I think they have the proponents to be a competitive team. A national championship winning team, probably not. Conference championship winning team, probably not. But I think maybe they could hover around that 9-3 area, 10-2 if it's a really good year. But now, you know, with the 12-team playoff, that could potentially be enough to get in and see their way into the playoffs. So I think they're going to be a competitive team that's going to have a staunch defense. Not going to be a lot of points scored on them. I just don't know how productive they're going to be on offense, especially in the passing game. And it takes more than just a little bit of recruiting to replace 5 offensive linemen, especially of the caliber that they had last season.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Kyron Samuels at Kyron Samuels on X. Now, speaking of the college football playoff, I've been talking about this all week because we're here in Memphis, and everybody seems to hope that this Memphis team can be the Group of 5 representative in the college football playoff. And, you know, that's a popular pick at this particular moment. They're going to have to handle themselves. But when we look at the Group of 5 ranks, I went into Conference USA and sort of looked at Liberty's schedule and what they have. What do you think the likelihood is that they sort of go undefeated and put themselves in that same position that they were in last year? Because it feels like they don't have a whole lot on their schedule that is overly scary. And with that, if they end up undefeated, it just feels like the committee may lean their way. Now, other teams can you know, have a say in that. If Memphis loses one game, I think ultimately they'd get in over top of even an undefeated Liberty or a Boise State, right? If they had one loss, I think they'd get over an undefeated Liberty. But if you have that two-game sort of differential, how do you think the committee goes about sort of deciding that by the end of the season?
Well, you know, looking at Liberty's schedule, I don't really see many challenges for them. The Appalachian State game at Appalachian State, that could be a very tough one for them. New Mexico State is going to be a team that takes a step back this year. They lost a lot from that team, so I don't think they're going to be as dynamic. So going to face those guys is not going to be as big of a challenge. So maybe that Appalachian State game is the one hiccup. Jacksonville State going there to Liberty, they had a competitive game until late in the fourth quarter last season, but you know, Jacksonville State brings a lot back, especially up front on the offensive line. And, you know, Rich Rod is going to run the ball. He's going to keep the clock moving and try to control the game. So those are the two big challenges. Other than that, like I said, like you said, I don't really see anybody stopping them. So I could see them being 11-1, 12-0 at the end of the season. And like you said, man, the discrepancy in strength of schedule is going to come into play, especially when you have a 12-team playoff. I think it's different when you're looking at a bowl game that's a one-off, right? I think they're more apt to give those teams like the Liberties a chance. When there's no consequence behind it. If they do, let's say last year they beat Oregon in the Fiesta Bowl, there's no real consequence to that game. Obviously, it means a ton to Liberty, to Group of Five teams. The country would have loved it. But in terms of maybe leaving a team out that might have deserved a playoff spot that had a tougher schedule, there was no consequence there. So I think you might see that coming to the play this season where, hey, if a team like Memphis that goes 11-1, or if a team like Boise State only has one loss at the end, and those are the type of teams that you may be keeping out, I think they will lean that way this year, especially with the Conference USA being down. I think only Jacksonville State, maybe Western Kentucky, but Jacksonville State and Liberty are the cream of the crop there, and I don't think anybody else is going to be able to boost their resume enough for that to count.
How much do you think the committee will look at last year, too? If Liberty ends up in that situation where they're undefeated, how much will they look at that Oregon game last year where they couldn't even compete? It wasn't even close.
You know, I thought about that, but I don't think they'll really look at that too much because that is the same committee that had Oregon ranked top four to the very last week of the season. I think they believe that Oregon was one of the best teams, one of the four best teams in the country because they kept them there all season long. So I don't think that will factor much, especially with the 12-team playoff. They probably wouldn't be playing the team like Oregon, who we all expect to be in that top four this year. You may be playing a team, if we're using a gauge from last year, a Tennessee-level team that is, you know, a 10-seed or something. A 5-seed or something like that is a little bit further back. That might be more of a competitive game that we see. So I don't think it will play that big of a factor. But you can never count it out.
All right, we have some NFL ball tonight. How about that? We're getting the preseason going. We have Panthers and Patriots, Lions and Giants. I want to start with the Panthers and Patriots. What do you think about Bryce Young going into year two? I know he's got more talent around him. They seem to have gotten that offensive line right, although I think they spent money, way too much. I think they spent way too much money on that interior offensive line. It was kind of ridiculous to see, you know, Robert Hunt, $100 million contract, that type of thing. But how do you think Bryce Young does in year two, you know, after being drafted one overall 2 years ago?
You know, it's tough for me to say because I think that he makes strides, right? I think that he improves. I don't know how much he improves. I think that they did a good job of trying to get him new weapons. Trying to bolster the offensive line, even though they may not be the guys that I won't say deserve because, you know, you go through the training, you get to that point, though you are what the market demands, right? But maybe they're in the position where they overreach like we both think with some of those contracts. So I think he makes a step. I'm just not sure how much of a step, and I'm not sure how much it affects the on-field success in terms of wins. I think he goes from a young guy learning the ropes to, hey, man, if we believe – and Dave Canales and everything that he's done over the course of his career. You saw what he did with Baker Mayfield last season. Baker Mayfield had his best year as a pro. If we're going off that track record, I think we'll see improvement. Enough improvement to where we're like, hey, this is the guy that's going to be the starter for another 2 years at least and play out the rest of his rookie deal. But like I said, I'm not sure how much that's going to turn into on-field success in terms of wins, but I do think he's going to be better if I had to throw out a prediction, I'm saying like a 21 touchdown, 12 interception type of season, maybe 3,700 yards, somewhere around there, where it's a clear improvement, not fantastic. But a clear improvement where you're like, hey, we can build around this guy going forward.
It's just frustrating because it's so situational with quarterbacks. And he got dropped into one of the worst situations I've seen in a long, long time. And I'm going to ask you this just straight up. Do you think the Panthers are the worst operated franchise in the NFL right now?
Yeah, from the top, I would say they are. I have a lot of respect for a lot of their coaches. I mean, they had a fantastic defense. I believe they finished top five in total defense last season. But at the top of the organization, absolutely, man. Especially what after the fallout with the Brian Burns deal and what they ended up getting for him. I mean, that's tough sledding there. So I'm really interested to see how they can recover from that. But like you said, I do think it's a fair assessment to say that they are the worst ran organization in the National Football League right now.
Something I just can't get over is that Bears trade they made to go get Bryce Young. Like, have you seen, like, realistically how that has aged at this point? The Bears have Caleb Williams. You probably take Caleb Williams over Bryce Young. I think most people would. If you ask them on the street, if you just did a straw poll, then they got Darnell Wright, Tyreek Stevenson, Torrey Taylor. They have a bunch of starters, and they still have a second-round pick on the way. And they paid DJ Moore $110 million. That might age as one of the worst trades, not just in the NFL, but in sport, by the time this whole thing is done. If the Bears are able to accomplish what we think they can accomplish going into the future, that trade aged like milk.
Right. You know, it's like you said, it's already aged pretty bad, but the potential is astronomical here. I'm just saying, just Darnell Wright alone makes that a crazy trade. I mean, Darnell Wright, in my opinion, is going to make an all-pro team this year. I think he's already that good. I think he's going to make strides like that. And if the rest of those young guys pan out, there's no questioning that that's one of the worst trades of all time, especially considering the alternative, what you could have done if you had stayed patient or made a move earlier. It's just one of the worst trades ever already, in my opinion. But it definitely has the room to grow to get worse. So, hopefully, for the Bears' sake, it does. I'm excited to watch that Bears team this year. I think all that talent is going to come into play early for them. I don't think they're going to have a steep learning curve. The offense is pretty simple. The defense is going to be one of the best in the league. They were the best defense in the league statistically over the last 8 weeks of the season last season. So adding that offensive talent, I think they're going to be a team to be reckoned with this season. Maybe not win the division, but I think they're a team that can go 10-7, 11-6 maybe and sneak in the playoffs with the wild card position.
Now, what the hell is going to happen with Brandon Ayuk? Truthfully.
Oh, man.
I've seen a bunch of conflicting reports. And, you know, our guy Andrew Filippone over there in Pittsburgh, he had his sources yesterday. I know a lot of Steelers fans roll their eyes when he says he has sources. But he says that Brandon Ayuk ultimately will be a Steeler, and most of the things are agreed upon. But what's going to happen with that guy? It just feels like this is taking a little bit too long. We're in the heart of training camp. If whatever team that's going to acquire him acquires him now, you can get him going. But the more you sit on this, the more you wait, the harder it's going to be to get him involved with that offense early.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an interesting position here because I think Brandon Ayuk is a very good player. I think he's a guy that is an incredibly nuanced route runner. He can create some mismatches for you, but he's not a game-breaking speed type of guy. He's not a guy that's going to stretch the field vertically for you. He's not a guy that's going to break the top off of defenses. So it's kind of interesting to see a guy like that that doesn't have the ability that, let's say, a Devontae Adams does, because, I mean, let's be honest, not many guys do, but that can be your true, pure number one. We've never seen him really be the pure number one guy and carry be the focal point of the receiving game in an offense. We haven't seen that, at least over an extended period of time. There's been injuries with the 49ers where, you know, guys have missed games like a Debo Samuel, and you know, he's had to be the number one point guy for a couple games. But even that's a unique situation because of all the threats that the 49ers possess. You have, you know, to account for George Kittle. You have to account for the misdirection in the run game. You have to account for Kyle Juszczyk in the fullback in the passing game. There's so many variables in that 49ers offense. I'm kind of interested to see what it's going to be like for Brandon Ayuk, wherever he lands, being the number one guy, being the point guy, because we haven't really seen it, and it's kind of interesting to see a guy that hasn't really become that yet, or at least proved that yet, kind of get this top five, top four money that he's essentially demanding, and kind of what the market dictates. I have zero problem with the way Ayuk's handled anything. It's just interesting to see that a guy that probably isn't as proven as we've been accustomed to seeing get these type of deals be the focal point.
But he's a really good separator, and he really is the wide receiver of that 49ers offense. With that 49ers team, if they don't have him going into this year, I'm not going to act like they're going to fall off the face of the earth. But that's going to be a challenge. That's going to be a challenge. Not having the main wide receiver in your offense for a guy like Brock Purdy, that'll be frustrating for him.
Yeah, that's going to be frustrating for sure. But these are the type of things, like, I hate to always bring it back to the professional aspect of it, but this is what they pay you for, man. Like,
right.
Those are the type of situations that you have to overcome, and that's why you're going to get paid what you're going to get paid, because you have to overcome those type of obstacles.
Yep, for sure. Well, Kyron, I appreciate it, man. We'll holler soon.
No problem, man. Appreciate you, Gabe.
Yes, sir. That is Kyron Samuels at Kyron Samuels on X, former all-conference offensive lineman at Jacksonville State, writer and analyst at the Pulling Guard, and also he is a senior consultant for Defiant Takes for their football edition. Now, we need to go ahead and grab a break, and when we come back, we're going to hop into what we hop into every single day right around 6:30. That would be the Blitz. It's next.
Sunday on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL. The 2024 season gets underway as the Dallas Cowboys and LA Rams kick off the preseason. Hi, this is Jerry Recco. Join Kevin Ray, Steve Berline, and myself for all the action as Dak Prescott and the Cowboys square off with Matthew Stafford and the Rams. Football is back. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Rams. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I love the Cowboys games on 92.9.
Hey, fantasy football fans, this is Zach from Upper Hand Fantasy. You don't want an embarrassing tattoo just because you lost a bet in your fantasy football league, right? If you do, I suggest a mermaid holding a football, but let's avoid that altogether. Fraz and I are here to get you ready for your fantasy football drafts with insights and advice. From sleepers to busts, we've got you covered to give you the upper hand on your friends. Start your fantasy football prep now. Join us and stay ahead of the competition. Follow and listen to Upper Hand Fantasy on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Portions of today's program are pre-recorded.
To celebrate Team USA going for gold, Xfinity is offering a gold medal deal. Now through August 11th, get our best offer yet with 300 megabit Xfinity internet and one line of unlimited mobile for just $35 a month for a year and a free 5G phone. And the action doesn't stop there. Save on some of the biggest names in streaming by adding the new Xfinity Stream Saver with Peacock, Apple TV Plus, and Netflix for just $15 a month. Don't wait. When the Olympic Games end, so does this deal. Go to Xfinity.com/Team USA. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Get the fastest connection to Paris with Xfinity, proud partner of Team USA.
Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply to internet and mobile. Stream Saver price subject to change. Xfinity Mobile requires Xfinity Internet. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed. Free 5G phone requires eligible trade-in. Select models only.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy.
Wash, it smells so clean. Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes 100% of odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, my son's teacher emailed his back-to-school list. He needs crayons and a comp book for every subject.
Okay, no problem. With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back-to-school.
Oh, now they're saying he needs folders and glue.
You got it.
And markers?
Of course.
Oh, geez.
Can we get a cart, please?
Save big on back-to-school with Staples Hot Deals. Right now, 24-pack Crayola crayons and comp books are only 50 cents each at Staples. Ends 8/24, in-store only, limit 10.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024, Bank of America N.A.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high-load conditions versus API-SP test limits.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
It's Brian Baldinger with the Journey to Kickoff presented by Hyundai. First up is Kansas City, looking to become the first team to three-peat in the modern era. Of course, it starts and ends with their two-time MVP winning quarterback. The reigning champs added a solid weapon at wide receiver that should bolster their offense alongside their Hall of Fame tight end. Will their defense come along for the ride again this year? Journey to Kickoff is brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.
Life hack number 7. Get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Yes, sir. We're blitzing and we're back on the Gabe Kuhn Show. And remember that the Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, what we got?
Josh Allen was asked if he missed Stephon Diggs, and here is what he had to say.
Steph's a great player, and what he brought to this team was special. So miss is I don't know if I'd say miss. You know, he was a guy that was reliable. You can look to. He's going to have the juice each and every day. I'm sure he's bringing it over there in Houston. So definitely, yeah, you can't say that you don't miss that. But I am very happy with what we got going on here and how hard the guys have been working. And yeah.
Yeah, in other words, I definitely miss the production. I'm going to miss the 1,000-yard receiving seasons, but I am not going to miss the guy. By the end of that relationship, it just got so damn strained. I honestly thought that they extended out a year too far. I mean, 2 years ago, they had issues. When they lost that snow game against the Bengals at home, there was big, big issues. Stephon Diggs going after, you know, the offensive staff, going after Josh Allen. It got really bad. So I completely understand what he's saying there. Stephon Diggs, what he did with the Vikings is what he did with the Bills. There is sort of a time frame in which you have to capitalize on the Stephon Diggs experience. I thought the Bills did a good job with that. Stephon Diggs, I think Josh Allen definitely has him to thank for a lot of his career and the earnings he has at this particular moment. They didn't really have a great wide receiver until Stephon Diggs got there, and we didn't really see Josh Allen come into his own as a passer until Stephon Diggs got there. But at the same time, that relationship was way too damn strained for it to continue to go on. Now, I will say this. I am worried about the Bills. I know we talked a little bit earlier with Jeff about this, but I'm worried about what Josh Allen has to throw to. Keon Coleman, listen, I think he was phenomenal at Florida State. He was really good when he was at Michigan State. But he's not fast. He's not a big separator. And I think he's going to have a learning curve coming into the league. It's going to be really, really hard for him to be a great wide receiver out of the gate. He's going to need some development. I think they can give that to him, but considering what that wide receiver room looks like right now, he's going to have to immediately be productive. I guess Curtis Samuel is sort of going to be the guy leading the way in that wide receiver room? I'm just being honest, Connor. I am very concerned about what the Bills are actually going to get done this year. And if I were Sean McDermott, I'd be looking over my shoulder. If this year does not go according to plan, you bow out early in the wild card. I don't think it's, you know, his massive issue. I don't think he is at fault for what I think about this team. But I do think that if you have a disappointing year, Sean McDermott could absolutely be on the hot seat or fired.
Were you surprised that they haven't tried to get in on the Brandon Ayuk thing?
A little bit. It would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? It would make a whole lot of sense. But I guess they're just going to wait around for Keon Coleman to grow up. That seems like the idea right now. But they're talking about Mac Hollins being a guy there. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was a signing they made this offseason. He was decent with the Chiefs. But if you read reports about Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he has been an absolute no-show. He's been awful in camp so far.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So, I don't know what their plan is at the wide receiver position. They have let a lot of, you know, franchise cornerstones walk. It's no Jordan Poyer. It's all seemingly over with for them. So, I wonder what they do going forward.
Per Jordan Schultz, the Ravens are expected to sign Anthony Miller.
Yeah, I'm glad to see this. He keeps landing on his feet, and he keeps getting contracts. Whether he's on practice squad or not, he's coming from the Chiefs. I was really hoping that worked out for him. But then they brought in, you know, Hollywood Brown. They have Rashee Rice going. Brought in Xavier Worthy. So they're pretty taken care of at the wide receiver position. But I do hate the fact that for Anthony, he's 29 years of age at this point. I just hate that his shoulder injuries have really limited what he's been able to do in the NFL. Hate that part about it. But I think this is a interesting sort of career he's had because he keeps getting contracts, Connor. It's not like clearly NFL teams believe there's something there or he wouldn't be getting signed at 29. We've seen a lot of wide receivers flame out and have to go to the XFL and the USFL and do that type of thing. Or the UFL now. But he has not had to do that. It's very clear to me that NFL front offices and scouts still hold his skill set highly. They just don't know how that shoulder's going to hold up and if he's going to be able to, you know, break onto an active roster. He's coming from a very non-preferential position at this particular moment. And I early in his career with the Bears, I hate that it had to be Mitchell Trubisky. I really do.
Yeah.
But he showed so many flashes. It's just an example of, you know, the NFL being very cutthroat. And it's another example of, you know, injuries can limit even the brightest of careers. It's very frustrating, but I'm rooting for Anthony. I hope he sticks on the Ravens because they could use.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's wild that he is still dealing with the same injury that was hitting him in college.
So, peek behind the curtain, torn labrum is what it was on his shoulder. And if you know anybody who's ever gone through labrum surgery, John Morant just did it, you have to be bedridden for months while it is, you know, tightening back up. And the chance for re-injury is very, very high. And for a wide receiver who's, you know, catching balls up over his head, it limits your range of motion. And then you take hits, you fall on that shoulder. The chance for re-injury is just so damn high. You know, I wish in college he would have taken some time off to handle it maybe a little bit better. But it's the type of injury he got. You know, it doesn't surprise me that he's still dealing with it. I mean, even that final game that we played, lost to Iowa State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, he was struggling. He had to come out of the game because his labrum was torn and he was just wearing the brace. It doesn't surprise me. I don't know if he ever took the time off that was necessary in college to really get that thing back right.
I don't remember when it happened. Do you have a memory? Was there a moment where he was like, oh, so I just got nailed and it tore? Was it over time it wore down?
It's usually an overtime thing. Uh-huh. And then if you fall on it one good time or someone drives you into the ground, it can tear that way. But it happened sort of in the middle of his career. Like his first big season, that's when that sort of happened. And he never really rehabbed it like he was supposed to. But that's how it is. I mean, it's you know, I had a friend who tore his labrum on his right side twice and his left side once.
Oh, my God.
And he just consistently played through those injuries because it was a backup left tackle and he needed to be out there in case we had injury.
How in the hell could you play left tackle with two torn labrums?
He found a way. But, no, it's just – it's one of those things when you're in college and you're trying to make a name for yourself, you force yourself through things. And, honestly, I think that's inhibited and limited what he has been able to do at the next level.
Well, it's interesting because you can say him playing through it and staying in college and playing those games, it's the reason why he probably still has NFL prospects. But on the flip side of that coin – the reason he hasn't been able to stick to a roster is because of the injury. So it gave you an NFL career in a way, but it's also hampered that NFL career. It's just, that is a tough situation, but I am very glad to see that he is with the Ravens.
Yeah, isn't it amazing, though? Guys like him with the injury history who have not really, who has not played an NFL regular season game since 2021.
So maybe it's healed.
But how insane is that he keeps getting these
talent?
Like, there's so many guys that just flame out and will not even get an opportunity, and he keeps getting these chances because they know that he's a damn good wide receiver if he just is able to stay on the field for a consistent amount of time.
Can I put you on the spot with a question?
Sure.
Where does he rank in Tigers receivers?
Number one.
Really?
Yeah, well, Isaac Bruce, yeah, Isaac Bruce won, but yeah. I was thinking my era.
Sure.
I'd put him at two.
Okay.
Well,
I think that's
Russell Copeland had a really good career. Okay, let's put him at three.
Okay.
Let's go Isaac, Russell Copeland, then Anthony Miller.
Fair.
But Calvin Austin III, we'll see if he can move up that ladder. But Anthony was so damn good. He was so quick. One of the best separators I've seen in live action.
I trusted him so much.
It was always insane, too, like, he came in as a walk-on out of Christian Brothers. And if you talk to the people at Christian Brothers when he played, he wasn't awesome. Like, he had, you know, a case of the drops. But as soon as he got on campus, like, I mean, as soon as he got on campus, we had Bobby McCain, Fritz Etienne, like a really good secondary. And we would do scout team. And he was tearing them up every single day. You think with a guy like that, who wasn't that great in high school, who had to be a preferred walk-on, you think it would take time. You'd think he'd have to develop. He got on campus and was the guy that you got to see through all those years from day one. It was nuts.
It boggled my mind.
Could it be as simple as the offense was just better for him?
Maybe, but if you're... I don't know. High school, the talent you're playing against, you should be able to just wipe the floor with some of those kids. And he was never really able to do that, but he got to Memphis, and he just took off.
Team USA survived today, 95-91 against Serbia. On Saturday, it is time for the gold medal game. Simple question. What lineup should Fraud Steve Kerr run out there to start?
Fraud was not on the... was not in the question, in the write-up.
No, it's
but
here.
You added that. But no, I tend to agree with you for the most part. I think, how simple is this? This is super simple. Steph Curry, LeBron James, Devin Booker, KD, Joel Embiid. Start with that. Play them. Let them get a rhythm. Don't pull them out when they're playing well. You sub in Anthony Edwards. You can sub in Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis. Sub those guys in.
That's kind of your rotation, I feel.
But don't extend this thing out and do the full platoon swaps until you get late in the game. If you have a lead, if you have a nice, solid lead, sure, you can bring in whoever the hell you want.
Release Jason Tatum.
For the love of God, build a lead with that group before you start doing those full five-in, five-out platoon swaps. Steve Kerr... don't screw this up. It is really hard to screw this up, and you came very, very close today. Don't screw around on Saturday.
Yeah, and if you need defense, that's where you have. You can throw in Drew Holiday if you need defense on the perimeter. Derek White if you need defense on the perimeter. I like that you included Devin Booker because I know that we went crazy about the big three and Joel Embiid and how they performed in the fourth quarter. But an underrated aspect of it was Devin Booker. He didn't put up a bunch of points today. But his defense was really, really good in the fourth quarter. He was locking down guys, getting over screens, not letting open jumpers happen. Devin Booker deserves a lot of credit. He has been a really good, consistent player for Team USA.
But do you have any argument with that starting lineup? I think in the gold medal game, we have gotten to this point. Don't bring Kevin Durant off the bench.
Throw him
in the starting lineup, let him go.
The only change I would consider is Joel Embiid coming off the bench just because Victor Wembanyama he's going to be such a focal point. And Embiid, even though he put up offensive numbers, he hasn't been great on the defensive end of the basketball.
So you think Anthony Davis?
So either Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo, just for defensive purposes, I think, might be a good starter for the game against France. However, that being said, I bet he starts Joel Embiid because of the narrative of, you know, he spurned France to play for Team USA. All that stuff's going to be into it. So I would be surprised if Embiid didn't start. But the only change I would possibly make to yours is just AD for Embiid for defensive purposes.
Who's the Olympic MVP right now? LeBron James? It's got to be LeBron James.
Probably LeBron James, yeah.
I can't really think of anybody else. Steph Curry had the one good game.
Well, if Steph has a huge game again in the gold medal game, maybe. Maybe Steph, but it's honestly Devin Booker was in the conversation.
He was kind of meh.
Yeah, no. I'm saying, but when you show up when it matters, you know, that's sometimes.
And Kevin Durant can make a case.
Durant can make a case.
But LeBron's just been doing everything.
I think LeBron's just, to be quiet, I think it's just the easy answer, so it feels incorrect, even though it is probably the right answer. I mean, he dropped a triple double.
Like, Kevin Durant's been scoring and getting to his spots, knocking down his jumpers, knocking down three-point balls.
Easy money sniper.
But LeBron's been doing everything for that team.
The defense that he
played. Setting up offense. He's the main facilitator. Steph Curry's not even taking that role. Steph Curry's setting screens for the guy.
That was wild.
LeBron just... And then also, let's think about this. Today, to close that game, LeBron was covering Jokic and did a really damn good job.
The entire fourth quarter. At 39 years old.
On both ends of the floor, facilitating offense, scoring, clutch moments. LeBron James has done everything for Team USA at freaking 40 years
old. LeBron in the fourth quarter today, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists that led to 12 points, 1 steal. All while defending Nikola Jokic, arguably the best player in the world, at 39 years old.
I can't understand it. I can't make sense of LeBron James. It's ridiculous what we watch all the damn time.
It was so fun. I've just seen a couple of tweets about, like, he got activated like the Winter Soldier whenever Bogdanovich did Melo's three-point celebration to him. Like, yeah. Don't you dare. He's my friend.
I expected LeBron James to be LeBron James in this tournament. Don't get it twisted. But he has blown through any level of expectation I had.
It's been special.
I didn't expect him to be the best player on this team with everybody else. I mean, you have Steph Curry, you have Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards I thought was going to be phenomenal, and he has been for the most part. But I didn't expect LeBron James to be the best player on this particular Olympic team, and he is by a pretty wide margin, in my opinion.
I am praying they win the gold just because I'm rooting for Team USA overall. But if they can win the gold, this moment in the documentary that we will eventually get about LeBron will be unreal.
And you have to cherish these moments, by the way.
Yes.
This is last time for KD, last time for LeBron, probably last time for Steph.
First time, last time.
And all these things, definitely last for LeBron. I'm just making an educated guess.
Have you seen the tweet that Jeffrey Wright put out? It was the RDJ, Dr. Doom. He was like, LeBron James in 4 years is going to rip off the mask and be like, I'm back.
This is special, though. This really is special.
It's wild.
Yeah. And I will say, I know they played way too close today, but, I mean, as much as I want them to just blow out everybody they play, today was very, very fun. Like, today...
It's one of the best basketball games I've ever watched.
Today was incredibly fun. I was not all that pleased with their performance through three quarters, but I don't know. It made the Olympics for me.
The only game I could put up against it was 2008 Spain Team USA. That game was unbelievable. But this game specifically, in my opinion, is the best we've ever seen.
Because you want a little bit. You want them to be tested. So I mean, as much as we want them to get, you know, whoop everybody's butt, you want them to get tested so we can have a little bit of fun along the way.
You
don't want everything to be a blowout.
It feels historic because it was those three guys together doing it.
It's so special. That was special today. I hope people realize what they were watching today. That was absolutely, positively phenomenal. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. And when we come back, we will go ahead and wrap up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.